I've realized that we shouldn't be using oral contraceptives as a band-aid because it's just pausing the problem.
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture. Adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. Welcome back to the show, Rebels. Today is a really good, very important conversation that has been a little overdue. I have had many requests on this topic, especially as I've shared a lot more of my own process coming off of birth control over twice now. I'll talk a little bit more about that, so story time in a little bit. But this is a really important conversation because here in the US especially, it has become extremely common for those of us females from the age of, well, when we start menses, so our first bleed, sometimes all the way into our mid-30s, we're on chronic oral contraceptives. So artificial or synthetic hormones that suppress our ovulation, that make it close to impossible to get pregnant if we are not using like condoms or any other sort of barrier protection. And so today's conversation, I'm going to really kind of open up to you about not only my own experience, but kind of a collective of the experiences from the hundreds of women I've worked with over the years, things I've seen even with some of my friends or, you know, just people in my circle in general, so that you can see that this is a collective experience. You know, this isn't just a one-time anecdotal thing. And I think this conversation needs to be had as well because there are different articles and things that came out like earlier this year. I believe it was the New York Times, I think, put out a really misinformed article that I would argue was probably funded or inspired at least by Big Pharma, because they do make a steady flow of income from our birth control prescriptions. Because, you know, a female on birth control and she's at least on it for 15 years and it's monthly, you know what I mean? So you're dishing out pills monthly, and or if you do injections or whatever, you know, IUDs are different. We're not talking about IUDs. So today I do want to clarify, we're specifically talking about oral contraceptives or any, or NuvaRing, you know, anything that is using artificial synthetic hormones to suppress your cycle. And they've been putting out a lot of misinformation, trying to kind of really, what's the word? Kind of dilute the female experience that many of us are coming out and sharing on social media more and more. I would say especially seen it more the last 5 years, honestly. And with the rise of TikTok, I think ultimately TikTok had a lot more girls sharing their experiences, you know, on birth control, coming off birth control, all of the things. And it's real. And it sucks because, you know, I spent so much time trying to find any other form of contraception during my not ready for baby age and phase, where I was like, they give me a good option that just doesn't alter my hormones like that? But in reality, girls, unfortunately, your cycle is your health. It's a lot to do with our health, especially naturally cycling and having good, healthy ovulations. You know, I talk about this a ton in a lot of my female health oriented episodes. And so suppressing that is going to have outcomes, whether they're positive or negative. You know, some are positive in some way because, you know, a lot of us like to not have to deal with periods every month. However, there is a cost. There's always a cost for changing and altering a natural system in your body. So we're talking about all of that today. I'm really excited to jump into this with you. And I hope that whatever I discuss today is helpful. It's going to be hard to get as in-depth and such as possible because there is like, it's a huge world. And we're learning more and more about it because there's more female practitioners that are spending time and their own money on research to help all of us have a lot better knowledge and help our, you know, future daughters and stuff make the right decisions for the right reasons when it comes to should you go on birth control or not. Because honestly, you know, and even my parents have told me that when we were young and starting birth control, you know, around age 15-ish or so is a pretty common time. Usually parents have their daughters get on it because they're so afraid of their daughters getting pregnant that they are just like, you know what, peace of mind, just start you on birth control. Easy, done, you know, and then a lot of my peers and such, they started birth control because of acne or, you know, really heavy periods. But the more I've learned over time, I've realized that we shouldn't be using oral contraceptives as a band-aid because it's just pausing the problem that is causing that because it's not normal to have painful periods to the point where you need to get medicated to deal with it. And it's not normal to have crazy outbreaks of acne. You know, a lot of people just chalk it up to puberty, which plays a big role because your sex hormones are really like expressing more aggressively, but they don't just kick in. Like it's kind of a misconception, especially lately, that like hormones, your sex hormones just kick in during puberty. They just actually shift into fertility zone the most. At puberty, we are expressing our hormone balances from the moment we're born, you know, because that's if you're female or male, that's what's going to help drive what parts develop on you and all that kind of stuff. But it's important to know that when it comes to birth control, using it as a band-aid to kind of, you know, help your acne go away or whatever. Your acne is telling you something. All the symptoms that we experience, you know, heavy periods, painful periods, a lot of blood clots, a lot of fatigue, acne, you know, like I just said, those are all expressions of an imbalance that's already there. And nowadays we have a tough time with our environmental endocrine disruptors. So things that can influence our hormones. And so from a young age, you know, a lot of these young girls are getting influenced through the food they eat, the products they put on, you know, especially makeup and lotions and all this different stuff, the candles they burn in their room, their lifestyle factors, whether or not they're very active, you know, all these different things come together to influence your hormone balance from even before, and then puberty exacerbates it. Puberty is basically just like, all right, now we're going to spike your estrogen and your progesterone because we want you to start being fertile because this is when your genetics are supposed to start being able to have babies. Okay, I hope that makes sense to you because when you really peel back the curtain and like realize that that's the purpose of puberty and what all those symptoms mean, hopefully it can help you better understand that like those are signs that something is off that you should be working on figuring out what's imbalanced and healing it from a younger age versus just slapping birth control on it. And that's all stuff that like I wish I knew better. Fortunately for me, I didn't get on birth control because of my period sucking. Like a lot of my peers did, including my sister even. But for me, like I actually had pretty standard normal periods, which was probably a sign that my hormones were decently balanced. And then I went on it because, you know, of the classic fear of getting pregnant. And that's totally real. I totally understand it. But I honestly look back and I wish we spent a lot more time teaching our young females about fertility awareness and understanding their cycles so that we can be more empowered to know like when are we in our cycle because there's just a very small window of being able to get pregnant. And if we better understood that and took the reins on, you know, abstinence during that 1 week window or using other methods and understanding how to safely use those methods so you can prevent risk of like condom breakage or any of that. that's really important to understand. And I will say, with me having just said that, this conversation is going to be extremely transparent and open, like a conversation just between the two of us. So if anything, talking about, you know, anything to do with birth control, including sex and stuff, like I'm not going to get in depth and visual, but there are going to be terms and words and things that are just, they need to be heard and communicated, because we can't keep censoring this stuff when it comes to female health. And I've been absolutely behind the movement of just being more transparent and talking about periods and making things more normal, because they are so normal. They happen all the time. And it's really old fashioned and outdated and lame, in my opinion, to like be like, ew, don't talk about periods, or ew, don't talk about sex, or and any of this stuff. Because honestly, I think it just keeps driving the issue of people just thinking birth control is the only option and the only way to prevent babies. And it's not. And it's frankly the most damaging to our systems if we stay on it long term. There's totally reasons. I totally understand when women have endometriosis or any PCOS sometimes, and their only relief from the pain is using birth control, like only immediate relief. But it isn't the easiest way out, because all it does, guys, is push the pause on the issue. It doesn't heal it. Even though it may feel like your brain's going to think like, oh, because I don't have these symptoms anymore, this fixed it for me. It did not fix it for you. It put a pause button, and it could actually make it worse in the future, especially if you're trying to conceive or you start to go through menopause, you know, if you don't want kids at all. Both of those things are perfectly great options and your own choice. But at the same time, you just got to remember that birth control is always a pause button or a regression. And this is me saying it not to scare you from it, but to be really freaking real, because I'm just really tired of these different resources. Specifically, it's usually like conventional medicine, Western medicine based practitioners who just read the basic little study that the company that is selling the pills did to continue to sell the pills, quote unquote, safely. And they're not learning. And there's more that are now, which is great, but majority of them say like, oh no, weight gain is not actually a known side effect of birth control. Oh no, depression isn't related. You know, it's probably because you've changed your habits. You know, they always blame us for it, not the way that it does inherently affect our hormones, because your hormones are your metabolism, are your mood. So many things like that are controlled by your hormones, you know, and so people downplaying hormones don't understand the power of hormones and the complexities of the world today, including the environment and just everything, you know, stressors, all that jazz. So this is going to be a really badass conversation. If you know somebody who is on birth control, wants to get off of it, is getting off of it, needs to detox, wants the best tips possible, this whole conversation is about detoxing off of birth control, specifically any type of synthetic hormone birth control. So again, NuvaRing, mini pill, normal pill, patches, IUD that has the progestin in it, which would be like the Mirena, Kyla, and the Implanon, the arm one, you know, the bar of progesterone, essentially. And so if it's anything that has synthetic hormone in it, whether it's estrogen or progestin, those are in this category to talk about, okay? Before we dive in, I want to recommend you guys, if you need to expand your knowledge more than just this podcast, which I hope you do, especially if you're somebody who wants to understand what's going on with their body or how to prevent it, or if you have a daughter and you want to learn more about it before she gets into that age range to do better for her or them, if you have multiple or something like that. Beyond the Pill by Dr. Jolene Brighton was a game changer for me. When I first experienced what's called post-birth control syndrome, I found her book, read it, and mind was blown. Whole world was changed. And I followed a lot of her protocol, which I'll talk a little bit about today. And it helped me really avoid so much issues that actually happened to me the first time I detoxed off birth control. So I will link that in the episode notes so you can go there, check it out on Amazon. And as well, I have a ton of great freebies for you guys, with whether it's through nutrition, like a nutrition label guide, or any sort of macronutrient list that you would like from me. I have them for free on my website, coachkales.com, or my stand store, stand.store/kales. Again, every link that I talk about is available for you in the episode notes, so pop over there. And you can also go and click and check out my Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast or at Kaylee Loren, or both. So let's dive into this topic, how to detox off birth control. It's going to be a good one. All right, so what exactly is post-birth control syndrome? So we'll call that PBCS. It can be described as any symptoms that occur after stopping hormonal birth control. And these symptoms can last weeks, sometimes months, and honestly, for some people, up to a year, depending on how you handle it and what you do to replenish your nutrient stores and how you detox through movement or a whole bunch of different things. I'm going to get into that in a minute. But they can include things like unusual acne, no menstrual periods, super heavy menstrual periods that you've never had before, potentially hair loss, anxiety, brittle nails, fat gain, rapid fat gain, sometimes rapid fat loss. They can go all directions. Depression, that's another one. So post-birth control syndrome is something that can happen differently to each body. So don't compare yours to your friends or whatever. Don't think that just because yours isn't extreme, you're not having some level of post-birth control syndrome. So this is a really important thing to observe if you have either in the past gotten off birth control and you haven't really paid much attention to coming off of it with, like, again, supplements, lifestyle changes, yada, yada, supporting your detox systems essentially. And or if you plan to get off of it and you want to avoid as much of these symptoms as possible, this is going to be really important for you to kind of take some notes. So again, I would recommend either you save this episode for listening to again later, or write down some notes from it, because I'm basically going to summarize so much of what I've learned from not only Dr. Jolene Brighton, but a whole bunch of other female doctors that have spent a lot of time teaching on this topic. Okay. And you will have to be intuitive with your body. You know, it depends on how long have you been on the birth control. You know, a lot of my own experience, I was on oral contraceptives for, I think, at least 8 years. Somebody like my sister and several of my other clients had been on it for like the upwards of 15 years, you know, almost 2 decades, which is a very long time, you know, to be on synthetic hormones. And essentially, or even if you've only had it and been on it for like a year or two or so, sometimes some people who go into using birth control and already have imbalances that are significant, they might get exacerbated when they get on birth control, and within only like 3 or 4 months, they might lose their libido immediately, a whole bunch of stuff like that. Losing your libido is not a good sign, okay? That is something that I completely just put in the backseat for so many months, years, honestly, and had no idea that it was due to my birth control use. And so that's something important. If you lose your libido, it's not something to do with just all up in your head. It can absolutely be a huge sign that you are not having the right hormone levels and something is going wrong with your body. There's a kind of funny phrase that a lot of people in the health world say, if you're not horny, you're not healthy. So paying attention to those, you know, cues is very important, all right? Something really important to also understand is that birth control, how the mechanism of how it works is it alters your hormone levels in your body to prevent pregnancy, right? So you're basically artificially altering your natural hormonal cycle, which means if you don't know what a hormonal cycle should look like, there's some great graphs online that you can look and see, like, what are your hormones supposed to do through a standard 28-day or 30-day cycle. And it'll be really insightful for you to better understand how taking artificial hormones to, you know, stop ovulation essentially can cause issues over time. If you don't understand any of those things, it's going to be really hard for you to better understand what what's happening to your individual body. And another concept I really, you know, I learned way too late in life. Like I was in my early, late 20s when I learned this, but periods on your cycle are not real periods. If any doctor has ever told you that's a real period, they are wrong. It is a ghost period, quote unquote, where essentially it's just allowing your body to mimic the bleeding and clearing out of the uterine lining that thickens and grows due to you taking progestin, which is the fake version of progesterone, in your pill form. Okay. So essentially, you stopping the hormones for those 5 days kicks your body into shedding that. However, you did not have a real cycle. It's not a real period, quote unquote, because you did not ovulate. Those hormones are being spiked in your body to tell your body and to quote unquote mimic that it's pregnant, is a phrase you'll hear a lot from doctors. And essentially, it sort of does that, but it does not allow you to period. You just bleed. Okay. So we call those ghost periods because they're not actual real bleeds. A lot of people get those misconstrued and they think that they are having periods consistently because they do the sugar pills. But unfortunately, that is not that. And you gain a lot of the inverse of your estrogen phase, aka your follicular phase, and then your progesterone phase, which is your luteal phase. And I'm not going to get into those phases and everything. There's Hot Take Summer last season, episode 36. I talk a lot about like all the concepts of birth control and cycle tracking, where I do get into things in the cycle. So listen to that. I do believe episodes 2 through 4 of the initial of this podcast, when I first launched it, I do talk a lot about that as well. So if you want to learn more about your cycle, those would be great episodes for it. I'm probably going to re-record a new episode to kind of go over the basics of it, because especially as time has gone on, I've gotten better at structuring how I approach things and talk about it on the podcast. So I'm probably going to do some updated ones now that we've been rolling for a little over a year and a half now, which is great. But so it's very important for you to understand the different phases in your cycle and understand the fact that those are essential for feminine health and well-being, vitality, all that jazz. If you don't have one of those things without the other, over time, you start to deplete your natural production of either estrogen or progesterone. Typically, we see progesterone get waysided because you're taking fake progestin and your body's responding to that. And then it doesn't produce natural progesterone on its own. And unlike what a lot of, again, conventional medicine will tell you, progestin does not operate the same way that progesterone does. Progesterone is your calming hormone. It's your inverse bestie with estrogen. You need it in a good ratio to have better health and happier periods and all that jazz, and healthy fertility for pregnancies in the future. So if you don't have that and you suffer from anxiety and depression and you've been taking a birth control contraceptive device or pill or whatnot that involves progestin, odds are very high that you are not producing enough progesterone naturally in your body, and you may have kind of this imbalance that we tend to refer to as estrogen dominance. And that can cause a lot of post-birth control syndrome as well, which is what I experience personally. So I'm going to take a minute to talk about that real quick. So for me, what kind of really spiked my interest in this was back in 2017, when I first decided to get off birth control pills. I had really stubborn, you know, belly fat, which later I kind of learned that had to do a lot more with my cortisol being chronically elevated because of being an early entrepreneur, just graduating college, running my business, you know, doing everything on my own, stressing myself out. And so I actually got that stubborn layer of belly fat, more so probably from that chronic elevated cortisol. But at the same time, I sprung into post-birth control syndrome 3 months after, 2.5, maybe 3 months after getting off oral contraceptives. And I distinctly remember this moment because no matter how well I ate, dieted, I started to try to run even. I was so desperate to try to get the weight to stop gaining. And all of a sudden, I got a really puffy face. I was gaining weight like crazy. I didn't have a very good libido. Like, I was single at the time. time. So it kind of was easier for me to work through all of this stuff on my own without being concerned about, you know, pregnant or something like that. But at the same time, I just knew that as I learned more about, you know, fertility awareness and all of that, that it was very possible for me to manage prevention of pregnancy naturally. And I needed to get my body naturally cycling again and allowing myself to detox all of this synthetic hormone that had built up in my body and also all the minerals and such that it caused depletion over time. So that is something that's important to know, especially with birth control pills, NuvaRing, all that jazz, is that over time, the way that the changes in your hormone levels and the active and inactive ingredients in these birth control types, methods, whatnot, they affect how your body absorbs, uses, and stores certain vitamins and minerals, okay? And this is not a guess. This is actually how it actually works in the body. And I've seen it totally play out, not only for myself, but for, again, so many clients, so many friends. Over time, that concept and that situation leads to nutrient depletion that tends to lead to deficiencies if it's not addressed during taking oral contraceptives or afterwards. So this means really high quality supplements taken at therapeutic doses to help your nutrient stores replenish, essentially. The biggest thing to understand is that your liver is burdened the most by oral contraceptives. So usually the vitamins and minerals that it lowers the most are your B6, your B12, your folic acid, and your minerals like magnesium, zinc, and vitamin C even. And these nutrients are so essential for things like your energy production, your immune function, maintaining your healthy skin, hair, nails, your nerves. And if you are depleted for long enough, you know, it can cause a lot of these issues like fatigue, negative mood changes, weakened immune system, and a whole lot of other health problems and concerns, okay? So basically, it's just really important to understand that birth control pills, they interfere with your nutrient levels in your body. And these can, if they are not replenished through your diet or supplements, especially if you have like a gut issue and you're not eating very healthfully for very long, or you're highly stressed, you know, things that cause inflammation in your intestines, which lead to also nutrient deficiencies, you know, you're going to be at higher risk for health problems over time. And so it's really important that today, where I talk about here soon, the different steps to take to address those things, none of those are like, if you do all of them and you didn't necessarily need one of them, it still is going to be good for you in the long run to do all the things and try your best to focus on it. You don't have to be 100% perfect. You don't even have to be 90%, but if you can reach for 75 to 80% on top of these things as possible, you're going to have a higher chance of having success getting your body out of this post-birth control syndrome state. So to recap on what we just talked about, it's important to understand that the mechanism at which oral contraceptives, synthetic hormones, yada, yada, cause the body to not be available to get pregnant, essentially, or to reduce your ability to be pregnant, is going to innately cause a lot of deficiencies over time, unless you're doing a very good job with your nutrition, lifestyle habits, and taking good quality supplements that hopefully the body can absorb. But again, the burden on the liver of the synthetic hormones is well known for not allowing a lot of these nutrients to get absorbed anyways. So it's very important to understand that that is one of the biggest trade-offs that I tend to see, and that usually causes post-birth control syndrome or highly influences it, you know, however you want to use the phrasing. And so that's something that's important to understand for your own body when you get off of it, is that you have this new job of replenishing a lot of those nutrients and such and supporting your detox pathways. We're going to talk about that here in a second, but I do want to finish out that for me, honestly, and a lot of my clients, it's important to understand, because you might be wondering, like, how long is this going to take, Kales? Like, I don't know, like, if I can, you know, saddle up for this process. Very valid question. And I can only answer this well because I have not only been through it twice myself, but also I've coached a lot of my clients through it too. And I've seen some really common patterns. So essentially, when you get off birth control, depending on how long you were on it for, you know, if it was, I would say maybe under like 3 years or so, you probably can detox off of it pretty fast. I would say maybe within 4 to 6 months fastest. I usually say, and the common thing that a lot of the doctors that I follow have said as well, is that you want to give yourself at least a 1 year to 2 year window where you're probably going to be detoxing and rebalancing. Your body needs to go through at least 3 natural cycles to start to realign with your new baseline. Honestly, I have seen it mainly improve after 6 natural cycles. And if your body has a lot of excess synthetic hormone existing in it still, like especially if you did like the depo shot, you may take over 12 months. And don't be intimidated by that or scared or feel bad. It's okay. You know, your body is going to just have to get used to the fact that it wants to make its own progesterone again. And hopefully you can bring your estrogen levels down to a healthy level. There's a lot of great supplements you can take if you do get your hormones tested and it comes back that you do have this imbalance where your estrogen is really high and your progesterone is really low, and your progesterone to estrogen ratio is off. You know, that's a good sign that you will need to work on your estrogen detoxing as well as supporting your natural production of progesterone. And so there's, you know, and that's just one case. Some people may have low levels of everything. Some people may have high levels of everything. Some people may actually be presenting in PCOS where they have high androgens, so your testosterone and your DHEA, and they have low estrogen and progesterone, or high estrogen, low progesterone, high testosterone. Again, that's another PCOS blood work type that we tend to see. So it's very important you get your hormone levels tested. I would say after 3 months of getting off birth control. Okay. You don't want to do it so quickly after because it could artificially alter what's your natural state. So once you've cycled naturally at least 3 times, that would be a great time for you to go get your hormones tested on day 21. Day 21 is the gold standard if you're going to be getting your progesterone levels tested and your estrogen to try to see where your healthiest levels are when they should be spiking. Because day 21 is the start of your luteal phase, which can give a lot of insight into, are you producing enough progesterone during that phase? All that kind of stuff. And it's so important you track your cycle as well. That would probably be the number one thing that you should be doing when you get off birth control. And you don't have to do it forever. I mean, I highly recommend you do because it's just so important for all of us who are pre-menopausal. If you want a recommendation, I do love the Flo app, FLO. Fantastic app, pay for premium. It's amazing. And especially because if you're no longer taking birth control, a lot of it can teach you fertility awareness. There's also the Natural Cycles app. There's a lot of great apps out there. I'm not, you know, affiliated with any of them, but my favorite personally through what I use and my clients use is the Flo app and their algorithm for learning your cycle and predicting your ovulation and all that stuff through the symptoms you track and all of that is on point, guys. It's hilarious how many clients or friends will text me and be like, oh my God, I was feeling this way and I signed into my Flo app and Flo is like, you should be ovulating or you should be starting your luteal phase. So of course you're moody, you know, and it's so funny, but it's also great because it's such an important women's healthcare tool and they have a free version and their paid version is really not that expensive. It's highly worth it. So worth it. If you spend that much on Starbucks just to get a like fleeting 15-minute beverage for the same cost almost monthly, you're going to have to understand that it is part of your healthcare that you want to invest in. And it's not that much every month, you know? It's very much worth it, always worth it. Invest in your health, okay? Understanding your cycle, taking the time to let yourself naturally cycle and seeing how your periods go. So the first like 3 to 6 periods of natural cycling again might completely suck. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. They can be really crappy, especially if you were somebody who was like skipping the sugar pills and you just were trying to like coast without ever having a period. You might be like, oh my God, this sucks. I regret this. I've had so many clients be like, I just want to get back on it. I don't like my symptoms, la, la, la. And I'm like, please hang on to it. Give it a good 12 months. Even if at 12 months you do want to go back on it, fine, go back on it. But give it 12 months, see how you feel then, and let's go from there. And everybody starts to feel better around that 6 to 9 month zone. And sometimes, especially if they've been on it for like 15 years, the 12 month mark does tend to shift into a much better place, usually. Again, If you don't do any of the lifestyle things and supplements and all that that I'm about to talk about, you probably will be existing in this post-birth control syndrome zone for longer than necessary. And some, you know, especially if you're younger and you've only like, you know, under 30 and you've only been taking birth control for several years or so, you can totally detox off of a lot of this way faster. You know, you might be fine in a month. You might be fine in 3 months. And so that's again where tracking your symptoms, tracking your cycle is going to be insanely important. Make a habit out of it. It's super easy. Even if all you do is just click day one of my period anytime you start bleeding and that's all you do, still going to give you so much insight on your health overall, because your period is your report card of your health every month. And it gives you a lot of feedback when you start to learn it. And it's really amazing. You'll love understanding your body better and learning symptoms and being like, I feel ovulation. If you've never felt what it feels like to ovulate before, you will when you're naturally cycling again. And it's kind of fascinating, but it's super important. It's all data, right? It's kind of like just a little bit of insight into your body. And that's so important. So important. So just basically expect at least 12 months of realignment. Some people might need 2 years, okay? But the more you do these things I'm about to tell you next, the better chances of it being a shorter post-birth control syndrome timeline, okay? All right, so let's go into all of these things that I keep saying I'm going to tell you about. All right, so if you want to get out your notes or whatever, or a pen and pad, this is the right time to pause and do that, because there's going to be a lot of good stuff that you'll want to write down. I'm going to put this into kind of like a little bullet point type way I'm going to approach it so that it's a little bit easier to organize. Okay, so detoxing off of this is really important because, you know, your organs, like we're not doing a juice cleanse or any of that junk. You're not going to be taking any sort of specific fancy like IV drip or something like that to get it out of your body. You can if you can afford that, but at the same time, not necessary. Our detox organs do a very good job at detoxing our body if we support those organs, okay? So it's really important for you to think about your detox system, you know, your liver, your kidneys, your skin, your intestines, your colon, your lymphatic system, you know, that's kind of part of your skin as well, and your lungs even. But mainly, we see a large burden on the liver from birth control, and you know, can be with your skin as well. If you're somebody who's dealing with acne from your post-birth control syndrome, your body's trying to detox these hormones or is being influenced by the imbalance in hormones, so your skin can kind of take a hit as well. But all of those organs are burdened by these synthetic hormones over time. So these organs are the ones that you want to support the most. So you want to take things and do things that support those systems in your body. So one of the biggest things that you can do when it comes to knowing where to start or what symptoms you're experiencing is identify those symptoms. So you can easily look up post-birth control syndrome symptoms and then just kind of make like a little note of each one that you're experiencing, okay? I'm not going to list them all out for you here right now, but you know, really common ones are going to be rapid weight gain, a lot of fatigue, mood changes, anxiety, depression, acne, loss of libido, and hair loss or, you know, digestive issues. Those are really common things that we'll see coming off of birth control. And those are all symptoms of, you know, coming your hormones being imbalanced essentially and trying to reestablish a natural cycle again after you get off of something that was suppressing your cycle. So identify those symptoms and then it can kind of help you figure out what to focus on. But ultimately, I like to think of the system as an entire environment that you want to, or ecosystem rather, that you want to support. So there's a whole lot of things that you can do that will take care of many of those different symptoms. So one of the biggest things that you're going to want to do is you're going to want to look at your diet and try to balance it as much as you can. Again, at least like an 80-20. So 80% of the time, you're doing your best to follow a more well-rounded diet. You know, you guys have heard me say that term before, unless you're new here. And that is kind of including a good amount of fiber, good healthy proteins, healthy fats, and, you know, more vegetables than starches with your carbs, because vegetables contain a lot more phytonutrients and fiber that help support your gut as well as your detox organs. And cruciferous vegetables in general, specifically, you know, broccoli, actually contain what is abbreviated as DIM. And DIM is a natural substance that comes from cruciferous vegetables that helps detox out excess estrogen. So if you are somebody who is presenting with more high estrogen symptoms, like the weight gain, the puffiness, major mood swings, and things like that, that will be a really good thing for you to focus on is cruciferous vegetables. And again, I have a whole free macronutrient list of all the foods that land in those categories for you guys available for free on my website and on my Stan store. So again, check out the show notes if you want to quickly download that. It comes with a little macronutrient grocery list, but you can ignore that page on the PDF if you'd like to. But that would be a really great place for you to kind of realign with figuring out which foods land in what categories for you to pick and, you know, choose a good protein, a good fat, and a good carb source for every meal. You want to have a rounded meal with each of those categories as often as possible. And you really want to increase your fiber, especially during this time, because it's going to help those detox organs really churn and do their job. And it's also going to provide you with a ton of good quality nutrients naturally, so vitamins and minerals naturally, when you focus on those foods more. If you stick to junk food, processed food, fast food, you know, just carbs-based food and things like that, things that are really easy to eat and they give you a fleeting bounce of energy, you know, because they're all sugars, you're going to have a lot of issues trying to get enough nutrients and trying to support your gut and your liver and all of those different systems, because you're depriving your body still of a lot of the stuff that it needs to run optimally. Okay, so when it comes to supplementation, you know, and again, this isn't medical advice. When I'm talking about all this stuff, this is all just conversational based and suggestions. So make sure you discuss with whatever practitioner, ideally your functional medicine or naturopathic medicine doctors, when it comes to post-birth control syndrome, because unfortunately, majority of the time when I've had clients or friends discuss these symptoms after coming off birth control with their PCP, GP, you know, all Western medicine doctors, they basically write them off and they say like, oh, that's not because of your birth control. And they like send you home, or they try to get you back on birth control. Unfortunately. So unless your PCP is somebody who incorporates more of a integrative approach or a holistic approach, probably find a practitioner or somebody to kind of run, again, run your hormones, figure out where you're at after 3 natural cycles coming off birth control, and then find out what you need. It's so much better to invest the couple hundred of dollars. Sometimes it's cheaper than that, or maybe if your practitioner will run it for you through insurance, you'll be very lucky if they will, but you might as well ask. And or you can use your HSA or something like that from your work to run in-depth blood work and find out what's deficient and what's imbalanced. It's going to be so much better so that you don't have to just take shots in the dark about your supplementation. If you can be specific about where your individual body is at, that's going to save you so much time and money. So I always recommend getting tested first before you just start to take all these different random supplements. But if you're somebody who doesn't have access to that, or doesn't know how to, or doesn't have the current finances for it, you're not going to be harmed by taking certain supplements to get off of birth control and replenish all of those things that might be deficient at the time. So consider taking a good quality magnesium. You can do a magnesium complex that has a variety of different important forms of magnesium, because all those different forms of magnesium do different things. Or the most common one I tend to recommend my clients is magnesium glycinate. It's the easiest to digest and it helps with a lot of specific important systems in the body. You also can take a good quality B vitamin complex. So a B complex, I usually recommend people take a methylated version, because a lot of females actually have a genetic variation that does not allow us to methylate, aka break down and utilize B vitamins very well, if at all. Some people have, you know, like a genetic variation called like MTHFR. Some people might have a double MTHFR and things like that, which make you pretty much unable to break down B vitamins. And B vitamins are extremely essential, and they're the number one group of vitamins that get waysided, they get depleted heavily during chronic use of oral contraceptives and other birth control methods that use artificial hormones, okay? So you're going to want to make sure you take a good quality B vitamin complex for at least 12 months, okay? And then you can look into some adaptogenic herbs like ashwagandha and stuff to help support natural levels of, you know, your cortisol and rebalancing your DHEAs, your testosterone, your estrogens, you know, all that kind of stuff can be helped by a lot of adaptogenic herbs. But I would also add, it's really important for you to look into getting a good quality omega-3 supplement. Take a good therapeutic dose. So usually that would be, well, I'm not going to give you the exact numbers, but I would say if you can have a higher dosage omega-3 and take that for at least 6 months consistently. I know a lot of people don't want the fish burps. They make some of them that have lemon extract added in. They also make liquid kind. I can't remember the name, but it's actually fascinating how you can get that and take it like a spoonful. It's like a tablespoon a day and it's flavored. Like I used to take one that was pina colada flavored and you could not taste the fish at all. It was wild, but you keep it in your fridge and you need omega-3. So also you may not have to take it supplement wise if you eat a lot of fish, especially cold water fish that have a good amount of fat on them. So, you know, wild salmon, cod, I believe, you know, there's a lot of the fish that are highest in omega-3s are kind of stinky. So like cod and all of that junk. So if you aren't somebody who really loves the taste of the supplements, but you can eat the fish themselves, do that. Or opposite is also important. If you don't like the taste of fish, probably take the supplement. I always recommend just take your omega-3 supplement at night, because then you're sleeping when the fish burps be happening. So that would be the best thing that you can do, but you really want to bring your omega-3s back up. You also want to support yourself with zinc and such. So honestly, I also recommend if you want to, even if you're not preparing for babies, prenatal vitamins are fantastic complexes and it also involves folate, which often also gets depleted with long-term use of birth control. So prenatals are basically like a female-focused, fertility-focused multivitamin. That's really all they are. There's no reason that you shouldn't take a prenatal for a chunk of time, especially to optimize your deficiencies that may have happened from birth control. So I don't know why I'm having such a hard time saying birth control. I should just say BC. Anyways, I think it's because I've had to say it so many times in this episode. My brain's like, meh. But prenatals can be a fantastic way to just kind of put everything that I'm talking about into one vitamin. So I have always recommended a good baseline one is Thorne Pharmaceuticals prenatal vitamin. However, it isn't very high in a therapeutic dose. So a therapeutic dose, guys, is not what you just see on the bottle. It's going to be one that typically your practitioner will recommend you. And it's more of a dose that actually gets a response from your body. So sometimes, like for example, lately I had realized for myself that taking 2,000 to 5,000 IUs of vitamin D3 daily my body wasn't responding to it at all. And I still was very deficient in vitamin D despite living in the sunshine state. So do not believe the rumor that just because you live in a sunshine state, you have good vitamin D levels. If you live a very stressful life for a long enough time, as well as taking birth control, you actually might have very low vitamin D and it can cause a lot of problems. But anyways, I have found that I had to take a much higher dosage vitamin D3 and take it therapeutically for a certain shorter amount of time to replenish those levels because my body wasn't responding to the lower dose. So same thing goes with other vitamins and minerals. You may be taking what is considered safest for the general population. So that would be what the bottle says is a serving, but you may actually need to double or triple that serving depending on where your levels are at. So again, get tested, find out, get counseled by a functional medicine, integrative medicine practitioner to help you really feel your best. But again, a company that actually makes a more therapeutically dosed version that is safe and I personally really like as well is Needed. And it's a pretty fantastic company that I've seen so far, really great stuff out of. I've kind of fact checked their whole supplement line through their prenatal and the forms of the vitamins and minerals they use and the levels they use are therapeutic and will help you replenish those nutrients. And they offer two different versions, like a lighter one for those who just want to start to work on replenishing those minerals and are not necessarily looking to get fertile or anything like that soon. And then they make kind of a more mega dose type one that is not necessarily a mega dose, but it's more of a very therapeutically dosed for fertility for women who are like several months or a year out from wanting to start getting pregnant and who want to have their body in the best position possible to have the healthiest pregnancy possible. Because I will tell you, I have noticed throughout my clients' pregnancies, and I've worked with a lot of females now through their entire pregnancies and seen the before and after, the ones that take the most time to replenish their B vitamins, especially, and their vitamin A and several other nutrients, have way less nausea and have much better iron. That's another one. Ferritin. Have so much better pregnancies than the ones who don't. So if I don't get to work with them before for months before they get pregnant and things like that, and I get a better understanding of what they're taking, if they just take a very generic prenatal and they start the moment they get pregnant, you're really doing yourself a disservice by that, unless it was an unplanned pregnancy. It is what it is. But everybody who has taken at least 3 to 6 months taking good quality vitamins that their body can store and utilize have way better pregnancies, way less symptoms during pregnancy. So, and it's not a fluke, you know, you can kind of look up some stuff and see that, like, okay, if you have really good magnesium stores, you're going to be way less at risk for preeclampsia and things like that. So take these things seriously, especially if you do want to have children in the next 2 or 1 to 5 years, because it can take time for you to get your body back in a position to have a really good, happy, healthy pregnancy. You're not going to be, you know, completely screwed if you don't, but I would recommend, if you have the opportunity to, and when you know better, you can do better, right? I would highly recommend you take the time and the small investment to take good quality vitamins and minerals to prepare yourself. So again, you don't have to be trying for babies to take a prenatal. If you're getting off birth control, I would highly recommend an easy way to focus on that is through a prenatal supplement, because it's going to have more therapeutic folate, which does get depleted during birth control use, okay? And folate is so important, because if you are low or deficient on folate during your pregnancy, your baby is at risk for a lot of birth defects, including spina bifida, which you can look it up if you want to find out, but that's why it's so important for folate to be involved, because there's definitely developmental issues that can come from not having enough folate and several other vitamins and minerals that do get depleted with birth control. Okay, guys. So that's really important for you to understand with supplementation. But again, I'm not going to tell you way too many supplements and things, because it's very individual to the person. So again, work with a good practitioner and try to get those things aligned with yourself. But supplementation is super key. One thing I will say is I have heard often people say, like, I just want to get my nutrients through food. And I think it's nice to think that. But whether you are actually able to do that and eat enough food and actually absorb the nutrients from that food to actually successfully have enough vitamins and minerals from the food you eat is a whole nother thing. Because frequently, especially if you have a history of IBS or gut issues in general, you don't have regular bowel movements, you don't have access to more organic produce, because non-organic produce does actually have significantly lower numbers in their minerals and vitamins that are inside them, because it comes from the soil. And when the soil is massively depleted, and our soil is more and more and more depleted from nutrients or artificially injected with nutrients, it doesn't always transfer to the produce the same way that we would think. There's a lot of great research on this, and I actually live in the middle of a huge chunk of the agriculture where we grow a lot of the US's food, and I see how quickly the soil and the crops are turned over and over and over again. So it's just, it doesn't take an insanely smart person to understand that our food supply is actually lower in nutrients than it used to be. So if you can prioritize organic, at least for several months when you're going through post-birth control, you could optimize your vitamin and mineral kind of quality from the food you eat. But again, it's very hard to successfully get enough nutrients in eating our day-to-day standard lifestyle. Okay, so I would be very impressed if I could find somebody who could get enough without supplementation, unfortunately. And, you know, I'm not getting anything from suggesting supplements to you guys. Like, I'm not giving you links or anything like that in my site. So it's important for you to understand that sometimes you just have to do some supplements for a little bit of time, and they are absolutely safe if you take good quality companies like Pure Encapsulations, Vital Nutrients, Designs for Health, Thorne Pharmaceuticals, etc. Those are great ones. I do have a whole episode on supplements and how to kind of figure out which ones are the best. So that's episode 13 if you want to go back and listen to that one. But the ones I just listed right now are some of the top companies that most of us on the holistic functional side of nutrition and wellness tend to use and like. There are a lot of other great brands. You know, Silver Fern brand is a great brand. And I think Vitanica, you know, there's a lot of great other smaller companies too that do a good job, because you basically just don't want to buy the ones from Costco and stuff like that because they're so mass produced. And a lot of the times it's a red flag if you look at the label and all it says is iron, vitamin A, and it doesn't tell you what form. If on the bottle your supplement says only just the ingredient, but it doesn't say what form of that vitamin or mineral, that's a red flag, because then you're not sure, like, are you actually taking a form of it that's absorbable or methylatable, you know, things that you can break down in the body and actually utilize. We call that assimilating. So that's important for if you are already taking ones and you just want to like check and see if yours are good. I would double check and just make sure that you can see that on the back of the bottle. So the next thing that you want to pay attention to is, how are you exercising or how are you moving throughout your week? It doesn't need to be every day, but if you can do as much as possible as often in your week, that's going to be the best during this post-birth control, let's say 3 to 6 months, okay? That means as much regular steps as you can. If you can hit at least 45,000 steps total for your whole week, and that can look like a few low step days mixed with a few higher step days where you went on at least like a 2.5 mile walk collectively or something like that, it's not that hard to reach 10,000 steps a day if you do like a 30-minute walk every night after dinner or after breakfast. You know, whatever moment in your day you can prioritize movement is going to be important. You don't need to go do crazy spin cycle classes or any of that stuff. Frankly, if you are somebody who is highly stressed in your day-to-day life through your children or your work or whatever, you probably don't want to do high output exercise classes in general right now, because they operate on cortisol as well. Cortisol creates energy. So if you are asking your body through stress for energy, you're not going to do so well to do these high CrossFit, Orange Theory, you know, all of those types of just show up, sweat your balls off and go kind of classes, because they're going to probably have a negative impact on your hormone health. So I highly recommend you shift into a hot yoga or even just a regular yoga class or a heated, you know, it doesn't have to be hot. Usually you'll see moderately warmer yoga classes that are like in the 80, 85 degree zone as heated. They won't be hot. I think hot usually branches into the 90s and 100 level of heat. It kind of changes studio to studio, but yoga is a great place to do that, because if you can flex around your body and sweat, you know, sweating is the goal, okay? Sweating is how you support the detoxing through your lymphatic system. And that is going to be best achieved through movement that instills sweat, bringing your heart rate up, meaning your blood pumping, getting things to move around your body and naturally flush out. Because if you don't move like that and you don't sweat even once a week, you're holding on to a lot of toxins that are waiting to be released through that method. That system in your body is meant for that, okay? So you really need to make sure that you're sweating multiple times a week. If you want a number, I'd say make sure you're sweating at least 3 times a week and a solid sweat, like getting some good drips out, that your shirt's a little bit soaky, you got like the butt crack sweat or something like that. Like, that's important, okay? You can also, if you have access to an infrared sauna, fantastic ways to not have to do as much to sweat a lot, and it will inspire increased heart rate. So you can get cardiovascular like effects from sitting in a sauna for at least 25 to 40 minutes. Make sure you're hydrated. You need to be taking in minerals, so electrolytes, while you drink your water. That's also going to be very supportive of detoxing and your detox organs in general, because a well-hydrated body is a detoxing body, because that means that you're peeing a lot and you're getting a lot of that stuff out of your body. So exercise is very key. I would say, if anything, at least 8,000 steps a day if you are a numbers person, but I would go for at least 40 to 45 or 50,000 total steps throughout your week at least. And that's a good baseline movement. If you can fit in a couple of workout sessions, some full body workouts, some strength training, essential muscle detoxes so well. Muscle brings up your metabolic health as well. It increases how much you burn day to day. So muscle is very metabolically active, we like to say. So if you can put on lean muscle and gain lean muscle, you're going to have a better chance of also detoxing and being just more metabolically active in general. So it's going to help reduce that excess weight gain, the blood sugar imbalances, all that kind of stuff. Building muscle is super key. And honestly, strong bodies are sexy bodies. I am not a huge fan of the skinny fat thing myself, not to throw shade, but I like to see women with some muscle tone. And so that means you need to strength train. And you're going to feel so much better when you strength train at least 2 times a week. You know, if anything, if you're going to work out less than 3 times a week, you can do 2 full body workouts, squats, push-ups, pull-ups, deadlifts. You know, those are the base compound movements. Compound movements meaning you're using more than one major muscle group at once. And it's simple and relatively easy to stick to, because you're going to be challenging all of those muscle groups at least 2x a week. And that's all you really need to start building a good foundational baseline strong body. All right. Skinny fat bodies are more prone to osteoporosis, illness, mood disorders, worse menopause, a whole bunch of things like that. Okay. So I'm not going to support not strength training ever. All right. So, and you can, you know, you get a lot of good calisthenic strength through yoga and stuff like that too. And all the Pilates craze is back out right now. Pilates is fine. Not a big fan of it myself, but you know, you can do it if you would like to. I like mat Pilates. I would say mat Pilates is great. Not a huge fan of the reformer, because you can kind of use things in a way that is not actually as connected if you're not somebody who's already connected to the muscles in your body. So I see a lot more injuries, especially like long-term injuries from repetitive motions, come out of reformer Pilates. So if I had to recommend, I'd say mat Pilates is really great. But those would be kind of the mat-based things I'd recommend for like calisthenic strength, that you can build some good baseline muscle through yoga, like vinyasa and such as well. Okay, so stress management is the next one. You're going to need to look at your stress levels throughout your week or your day. This basically, the best thing that you can do that I would recommend is that you just take inventory day to day for at least a week. So you kind of tell yourself like, all right, Monday, I'm going to start just kind of making some mental notes, or maybe even actually writing it down in some notes in my notes app about how my stress feels and what, you know, what throughout my day causes me stress. So for me, for example, back when I used to be commuting about 70 miles to and from work, no, it was more than that. Technically, it was double that. So it was like 140 miles every day. The commute was way more stressful than I realized, because I'm commuting in freaking California as well. So everybody drives like they're the only people in the world. And so that was causing me way more consistent stress than I realized. Getting to and from each of my clients that I was training was stressful, and making sure I was staying like on time, because I like to be very timely. And then also like what I could eat or what I didn't have time to eat, that's a stressor on your body too. If you're skipping meals, that's a stressor, because your body is like predicting it's getting it some calories and some nutrients to operate throughout the day. And then you skip it or you eat it way later and your body is like, what the hell, man? Like I need some things. And so that's what's going to cause, you know, blood sugar spikes and drops. All of those things are stressors. So sometimes we just think of stress as like feeling, like the feeling of stressed out, but we don't realize that there's a lot of other things that denote stress on the body, especially if you're somebody who's like moving around for work a lot, like if you're somebody who works in a restaurant, or if you're dealing with interpersonal relationship stress in the background, like your partner or your coworkers, and every time you show up to work, you've got this kind of subconscious stress of like having to avoid that one guy or not make your boss angry or whatever. Those are all stressors that kind of happen throughout our day that can stack up. So it's not just do you feel stressed, it's what else are you doing that is a stressor. And if you're somebody who is throwing in Orange Theory like classes or something like that to try to check the box that you did exercise that day, but you also have a busy work life or whatever, you're overloading the stress on your day. So you need to become aware in your everyday life what is adding stress, and can you tangibly address that and change it? Find a solution. How can you reduce it? How can you change it? You know, maybe it's to the point now where you do actually need to get serious about looking for a new job or something like that, you know? And I know that that's scary because sometimes we would rather stay uncomfortable in something that is quote unquote comfortable because we're familiar with it. But then over time, it causes us to have a lot more unhappiness and a lot more stress, and it's not actually better for us. Okay. So just because you feel comfortable in a situation doesn't mean that it's actually supportive of your stress. So those are all different ways. You know, there's a lot more that can go into stress management, but I definitely recommend you look into your life and just go day by day and make little notes of what stressed you out that day and reflect on it throughout the end of that week and be like, wow, okay, I think I can change this. How, you know, for me, I finally just had to stop commuting. Like I was like, I need to just put my foot down and let my clients know I'm available remote, or I can recommend you to another trainer in the area, you know? And for me, that was really freeing because I realized I needed to take care of myself and cut out that major stressor in my life. And it's been amazing ever since, guys. I know I talked about it earlier this year. And ever since, I'm 4 months out from that commute. And I'm like, I am so glad I am not rushing in the morning to get ready to go sit on the road for a total of 3 hours every day and skip my workout because I'm just beat from freaking driving and navigating all these mean drivers. So much better. So I encourage you to look into your life and make the decision that supports you and your health and your stress the best. Okay. Very important for you to do that because stress can just wreck your life. It'll just wreck your life. I'm currently repairing my lack of stress management over the last 10 years or 15 years. So get ahead of it if you can. You're never too late to work on your stress management. Okay. So the final thing, focus on that detox support through, again, all those other things that we just talked about are all supportive of your liver health and things in that zone. I guess I forgot to note with supplementation, you can take short-term supplements like dandelion root, milk thistle, turmeric. Those are all going to be natural food items that will support detoxification in the liver. And our liver is the main one that we're really looking at when it comes to coming off birth control, because those synthetic hormones, like I've said many times, they cause a huge backup in your liver and they can cause so many deficiencies and most likely have, you know. I had major deficiencies and it's been really great to get on top of my supplements to replenish all of those. And I feel a lot better. And I avoided the second time around that birth control and then got off of it. I was on the NuvaRing for maybe a year and a half, and immediately at the year mark, maybe even less than the year mark, I lost my libido again. My hair was crappy. You know, a whole bunch of those symptoms came back around, and I more strictly followed a good replenishment routine and detox routine. And I didn't actually have hardly as many symptoms as all at all. And I was pretty much out of it within 3 months. So very important you guys take this whole phase coming off birth control seriously. And I hope today's episode was really helpful for you to better understand the whys and the what's to do about getting off birth control and supporting your body better. Ultimately, I just really want you to learn from my mistakes and any of the mistakes that I've experienced with other women coming off birth control. And I hope that you're set up for success moving forward out of this birth control zone and getting back into your body. And I really encourage you to just trust the process. You have to trust the process. When things go crappy and you've got all these symptoms, either again or for the first time, and you're like, what is going on? Follow all of this advice to as best to a T as you can, and just keep the faith work through it. I promise you, at least within, or at most within 12 months, if you're doing all these things properly and you're not feeling better, I'll be confused. You will feel better is what I'm trying to say. Give it 12 months at least. And I promise you, you will start to feel better and hopefully the best you've ever felt, you know. And if you don't, again, I cannot stress enough, you need to work with a good functional naturopathic or integrative medicine doctor to help you get on the right path, because they can do a lot more for you individually to help figure out what's going on. Okay. All right. Celebrate your strength and nourishment. Walk with confidence. I will catch you on another episode of Rebel Wellness. What did you think about that episode? If you enjoyed it, I hope that you would come join my community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast or my coaching page at Kaylee Loren or both. I would love to see your name pop up on my new follows list. I might say hello if I catch you. And I would also like to invite you to come check out my website, coachkales.com, if you're interested in seeing any more of the educational learning resources I have created for you. I have a whole ton of amazing free downloads that you can like dip your toe in the water of what working with me looks like. And if you are really vibing with what I have to say and how I teach it, come explore my courses that are available for purchase. They are all do it yourself. In the near future, I plan to have some awesome group coaching that will be all live. So stay tuned for that. And the best way to know when I'm going to launch those is through my monthly wellness newsletter, which is my hand curated, not AI generated, monthly all things health and wellness newsletter that I created to be your new favorite resource for staying up to date with the latest in the health world, self-care resources that I've created, and a bunch of the clean beauty picks that I personally use myself, and a whole lot more, as well as early access and discounts to anything that I create in the future for specifically my newsletter sign up. So if you'd like to sign up, head to coachkales.com and add yourself to my mailing list. Last but not least, I would absolutely love it if you would help our podcast grow by simply sharing a rating or review wherever you stream and are listening to me right now, and share it on your social medias or text it to some friends or family members if this episode resonated and was something that you think could help somebody else, because I really would love to help anybody in your circle if I've been helping you. So I absolutely am so grateful that you're here. And if you listened all the way through, you are a real one. So, all right, Rebel, until next episode.